am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Yes, we're fulfilling our own destiny. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. Today is Monday, August 11th. I am your host, Cindy Freeman, and I welcome you here to learn about your purpose as our guests regularly share who they are, why they have come to know what their purpose is, and what you might be able to do and learn from their experience to come to know your own purpose. So, I thank you for being here. Purpose Talk Radio was created about 3 years ago to allow people who, again, are wondering what their purpose is to figure out a way, you know, some simple ways, hopefully, to discover it, whether it be surveys, reading books, listening to webinars, any and all of those things. And we have a variety of guests each week. This week we have an author. Next week we have a medium. Last week we had a neurologist. A couple other weeks we've had nonprofit facilitators and organizers and CEOs and all kinds of stuff. You know, no matter who you are and what you are doing, you know, in the moment you are living your purpose. And we like to just share with people that are, you know, might be floundering a little bit, that no matter what you're doing in the moment, that is your purpose. You know, if you think you need to be doing something more important, well, okay, then go out and find ways to do it. If you think you are not in the right place, hopefully you come listen to us and our show a little more often, and you can discover ways to find out who and what you are. The song you just heard is our theme song called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity. That would be the singer, Jillian Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself. And that song is available at truetrinity.com. So if you'd like to get a copy of the entire song, you can do that over there. We don't play the whole thing here. We play a little bit at the beginning, we play a little bit at the end. And hopefully you enjoy that. It's, you know, for me, it really is. I am who I am. And every day it's a little bit different. Sometimes I wake up and, you know, all I am is somebody that can just get out of bed. There are other days where I think I can take on the world. If you're like that, love to have you join us here. And feel free to call in, be a part of this show, be a part of the discussion of this show. There's a couple ways that you can do that. The first is if you are on listening to the show live, at the very bottom of the Blog Talk Radio page for this show is a chat room. It is open for you, and you can comment, question, do anything that might resonate with you over there. Right now there's not too many people there. The other way that you can do that is over on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. We have a group over there that is open way beyond the particular show that you're listening to. And hopefully during the week, our guests are coming over there and seeing if there's any questions you might have. Periodically during the show, I do try to post things that resonate with me or that I think you might want to hear again. If you are listening in the archives, that's a good place to be able to post things too, because in that way, you know, again, that's open all the time, whereas the Blog Talk chat room is not. Once the show ends, that one's gone. If you wish to speak to our guest, who is Kathleen Ellis, you can do that a couple of ways also. If you are listening, again, on the Blog Talk Radio site, let's see, there is a Skype button right next to the phone number on the top. And you can click that, And if you're dialing in on Skype, press 1 so that we know you want to talk to us. If you are listening by your phone, you can call in at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. So I think that's all of our housekeeping stuff. Oh, the website for Purpose Talk Radio. I should probably let you know what that is. That is at PurposeTalkRadio.com, PurposeTalkRadio.com. Now, that site's going to be taking on a new look pretty soon. We've been running and featuring all of our guests over there. There are some archives of our past shows. Just a little more flavor of, you know, living your purpose on a regular basis. Hopefully we'll be starting a blog over there and some announcements of upcoming things as well. And hopefully you'll join us there. So now I will bring on our guest. And hello there, Kathleen. How you doing?
I'm doing great today, Cindy. How are you?
All right, all right. I turn up my volume here a little bit for you. There we go. Changed headset, and then I didn't hear you quite as well as I could hear you not on the headset. So anyway, so let's see. You are in kind of the Midwest, by, like me, but you actually end up in a different time zone. So where are you located?
I'm located in beautiful North Idaho, right at the southern tip of Lake Pendere.
So is that a farm country? You got mountains, lakes? What do you have out there?
We have mountains and lakes pretty much here in Idaho. There is a lot of farm country further down below the panhandle, great potato country. Idaho is also known for its silver mining and gems. So there's a lot of riches here.
Wow,
beauty.
I didn't know about that.
I'm sorry?
I didn't know about the mining. I mean, obviously we know about the potatoes. We know about the potatoes, so that's a given. You know, lots of Idaho potatoes coming from there. But no, did not know about the mining. Have you gone mining yourself?
Actually, I haven't. I haven't. I used to live over in the Silver Valley when I was a kid growing up for a time and went to different schools along the way, but never did any mining. My father worked in the mines for a while.
Okay. And so did you get, what do you do out there for your entertainment then for you?
Well, we go boating because we live on the tip of Lake Pendere, which is the seventh deepest lake in the United States. It has a submarine facility here. It was part of the Navy, one of the Navy's original training grounds in World War II. So we have a Navy acoustical research facility here, and we go boating and fishing and all kinds of wonderful things. And in the winter, there's lots of skiing on Mount Spokane and up further north. So we're in between mountain ranges and deep lakes and lots of things to do.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So it's probably nice and open for you. Did you get a chance to see the moon last night?
I did. Wasn't it gorgeous?
Well, unfortunately for me, it was cloudy. And then we had a thunderstorm. I was going to go out at midnight after I listened to another one of my friends' radio shows. And right at the tail end, I heard boom.
It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And it was a super moon last night.
Yeah, I understand. Like, it's the closest it's can possibly be, or the closest time of the whole year?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Which means it's more powerful.
Okay.
So if people have dreams and goals that they would like to manifest right now, it's a really good time to do that, because when the moon is closest like that, it has more power to it. helps us manifest our goals.
Are you into, like, clearing crystals and,
Yes, I guess
they say wishing on the moon and things like that, too?
Well, I'm a moon child. Okay. I'm a Cancer, so I'm a moon child. I love the moon.
Cool.
Love the moon.
Okay, awesome. Well, I would like to introduce the folks to you a little more officially then.
Okay.
So, Kathleen Ellis, in 1995, which doesn't seem all that long ago, actually, probably for you and sometimes even more, but she was successfully in a career in real estate and had been there for over 20 years, suddenly found herself with that age-old question, is this all there is? And what does it take to be truly fulfilled and happy? So I'm guessing, you know, you kind of weren't feeling that at the moment.
No, I wasn't at all.
You know, we'll come find out a little more of, you know, what you did because of that. But realizing that your passion was public speaking, Kathleen decided to develop workshops to help others with the talent she spent many years attaining herself. She left the corporate world, began her seminar business. Fate, however, had a different plan, doesn't it always? You know, Kathleen talks about that in her workshops and her book. And, you know, the book that she wrote was called The Darkness Cannot Keep Us, Choosing a Better Tomorrow. And after writing that book, she's now back with new insights, entirely different mindset, and a fresh way of looking at the world and sharing the tools that she's learned. Over the past 5 years, individuals and businesses alike around the world have had their beliefs shaken to the core. Ooh, that's always fun when somebody does that to us.
So I know it, isn't it?
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully you'll shake some of our beliefs as we're, you know, going through here today. But the breakdown of economies, governments, loss of livelihoods, homes, fortunes, all of that kind of stuff has taken its toll on our lives. Kathleen is focusing her business on helping individuals bring that confidence back. She's intent on helping to reinstill the certainty we all have lost connection with, utilizing innate tools, those tools that which are inside of all of us. She helps you, me, all of us, and hopefully today we'll do the same, to reconnect with that which we need to have, reconnect with that confidence and that essential part of yourself that drives you towards success. After all of her training sessions and workshops, all of her training sessions and workshops include a copy of her book, and Kathy is certain that you will find hope and a renewed sense of vigor from your own journey as well. And the biggest thing that we are going to be talking about today is healing all of those experiences at a cellular level and the cellular side of healing. You know, and some of the promo that I put out, you know, I said our cell phones, you know, we use our cell phones to remind us of so many things in life right now. You know, whether it's an appointment, whether it's to take our medicine, whether it's to leave a note for somebody, whether it's to call and just leave a message or text or got to do something for a job. You know, our cells, our physical body is a lot like that phone that we rely on every day. And we forget that we need to take care of our bodies and remind our bodies as much as we remind and rely on those phones. So, again, Kathleen, welcome officially to Purpose Talk Radio.
Thank you, Cindy.
And, yeah, we'll see what we've got to share today. So the question that I ask everybody, no matter who they are and what they're doing, is how did you come to know what your purpose was? You mentioned a little bit in the bio that I read. But, you know, without actually going into what is your purpose, how did you come to know what it was? Was there a turning point? Was there some, you know, during that real estate business, was there something particular that made you say, what the heck is going on?
Actually, it was a series of things. In 1995, when I was working in my career in real estate, I had already kind of started shaping some workshops, and I knew that I wanted to do that, but at the time I received a phone call that my youngest brother was dying. And I went to his side. I spent his last week of life with him. And one of the last things that he said to me was, "You know what you're here to do. Go do it. Do you understand?" And I said, "Yes, I do understand. I totally know what I'm here to do, and I will, Jimmy. I promise you I will." And he also had asked me to promise that I would write a book about our journey. And I had not yet started that. But I promised him that day that I would make sure that the book was written and published. And then he passed away. And in the months and days after he died, that question, that statement that he made, "You know what you're here to do, go do it," started haunting me. It just totally started haunting me. And I realized all of a sudden I had no clue what I was supposed to be doing. I had no idea what my purpose in the world was. I had a great job. I had a wonderful family, a beautiful home, had all the trappings of success, and yet that one simple question haunted me. I felt so empty because it was like all of a sudden I had to define who I was, and I couldn't. I mean, I didn't want people to identify me with the job I had. I didn't want people to identify me as this or that or the other thing. I wanted to have a purpose. Everybody wants to have a purpose. And I couldn't figure out. I was so filled with grief, and I couldn't figure out. I had just lost my mom 2 months before. And over the next 8 years, I ended up losing 15 family members and 6 of my closest friends. And I still had that haunting question. What am I supposed to be doing here? Really, what am I supposed to be doing here? And I realized after falling to my knees, literally, that the first thing I had to do was pick myself back up, because I still have family. I have a husband and 5 children and 10 beautiful grandchildren and now 2 great-grandchildren. One just came into the world. And I want my life to be about more than just existing. Going to work every day and coming home and cooking dinner and, you know, doing all the things that everybody gets trapped into doing, and being on our computers and getting caught up in the technology and trying to learn everything there is to learn out there. And I, through the course of all those losses, I had been introduced to Reiki. Reiki is energy healing. For those of you who don't know what it is, it deals with the body's energy system. And I, over the course of time, became a Reiki master and started into the healing arts because I had to do something that would help me get back into balance, because all of those losses, especially with all the struggle that I was going through, was really throwing my system, my whole system, out of balance. I had a lot of health issues. I had a lot of depression issues. I ended up losing my corporate job and decided that I would start writing the book. And I thought to myself, you know, I made a promise to my brother and my sisters and everybody in my family that I would document what had happened to us in our childhood because we had gone through a very severe childhood. And then something happened along the way. I ended up putting the book down for a while with all the family losses. I ended up putting the book down for a while, and now that I've moved up to North Idaho and I have been in this healing environment with forests and water and nature and taking walks in the park and have brought myself back to a point of wholeness in my life, I decided to pick up the book and start writing again. And during meditation one morning, I got this message that I had to go back and start this book in the womb of my mother because that is where my journey began. And I thought to myself, wow, that's kind of out there, you know? That's pretty bizarre to most people. But I did that. And this voiceless voice said to me, if you will start there, I will make sure that you are taken care of. And I thought at the time that it was really unusual. So I went ahead and kind of put myself in hibernation in my office and started writing and took myself back into that cellular place that we all begin in. And it has literally, Cindy, changed my life. Totally changed my life.
So when you talked to your brother and you said to him, yes, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Did you think you knew at the time, or was it what some of us really think we have to do? Oh, he's dying. I got to say this.
A couple of things. I was coming from my ego, and I wanted to give him the reassurance that I would be okay if he left. That I would be fine and I knew which direction I was going in. But I was also coming from a place of ego. And I realize now, and it's okay to have a healthy ego. I'm not saying that it isn't. But for me at the time, I was a type A personality. I was totally type A personality. And everything had to be in order. Everything had to be controlled. People who have type A personality need to be in charge. We need to have direction. You know, everything in its place. Everything has a purpose. And that's where I was coming from at the time. But in the process of going through the loss of him, and I actually did not lose him. I want to be clear about that. I did not lose him. He's with me always, in all ways. He's in my heart. His energy is around me always, I believe. And he still guides me, especially with my writing, because he was a beautiful poet. And so I know that he is with me in other ways than the physical realm. But at that time, I just wanted to make sure that he knew that I was okay, that I knew which direction I was going in, and I also was coming from a point of ego, because at that time, my workshops that I was creating were entirely different than what they are now. The workshops that I did at that time were business development workshops, dressing for success, team building, leadership training, those kinds of things. And now I teach entirely different workshops. I teach people how to go back into that essential part of themselves to find the answers that are already inside.
Wow. Now, I know with grief, they say essentially, you know, it takes 6 to 7 years to really process it, go through all the steps and all the phases that, you know, you go with the experience of death. And if you lose more than one person in short periods of time or with, that are close to you within that time, you basically start over. You know, so you're talking, you got your mother, you got your brother, you got all your family here. I don't, you know, really want to take you back to that, but I know that's got to be, you know, you went through several parts of things of grief. You went through, like you said, you know, your journey growing up, which again, we'll get into a little more deeply here in a minute. You went through all of that and, you know, you're pulling that out of the ethers. You're going through your family stuff. How, you know, how did you find the strength to honestly even bother getting out of bed that day? And something's telling me I need to ask this question because somebody needs to hear it right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to. You know, with that kind of a grief that's, you know, dealing with the world, how did you even find a way to get out of bed and move forward?
I'll be really honest with you. It was hard. It was really hard. One of the things that I did, when I lost my mom, because my mom, actually, I want to just take one quick step back here. I had just become baptized on the 1st of June of 1995. And the 16th of July, the day after my birthday, I lost my mom. And the next month, we lost my husband's stepdad. And the next month, we lost one of my best friends. And then I got the call the night before my best friend's funeral that my brother was dying. And I ran to be at his side, and the next week he was gone. And I felt kind of like Job in the Bible, you know. I felt like this was a huge test because I thought I had found a new spiritual place for myself. And all of a sudden, all of the people who I loved and were so familiar to me and so deeply connected with me started dying. And then I lost my grandmother and my husband's stepmom and two more brothers, and it just kept going and going and going. And after everything was said and done, my husband was diagnosed with cancer and my son was rushed to the hospital with a brain tumor. And it's like, how am I ever going to get through this? I kept bucking myself up for everybody else. And yet when everything was said and done, I fell to my knees. And I said to my husband, I remember saying to him one day, if I don't get some help, I'm not going to make it through this. And he said, honey, do what you need to do. So I called up a counselor and got into some grief therapy, got into a support group, and tried to get back on my feet. They prescribed me an antidepressant, but they also had run some psychological testing because I had a lot of residual impact from my childhood. So I was diagnosed as post-traumatic stress disorder, high anxiety, and severe clinical depression. So they got me on medication. They asked me if I was suicidal, and I said no. That is not an option, but there were times in my life that I was, so I knew that was a critical question. And if you If any of you out there feel really, really sad, I want you to know that there is help, and I want you to get that help right now. I want you to call somebody and get into some therapy to talk through this. Do whatever it takes, because I technically should not be here. And for those of you who do decide to buy my book and read my story, you will understand why. I have had some incredible miracles happen in my life, and we'll talk about those in a little later in the program. But it was hard, Cindy. It was really, really hard on a daily basis. I did a lot of journaling. Every morning when I got up, I made sure that I got up early enough that I had the peace and quiet to do at least 20 minutes of journaling before the rest of the household woke up. Because if I can get it out of my body and put it on a piece of paper, no matter how I'm feeling, just put your feelings down on a piece of paper. Get them out of your body. That helps. And that's between the counseling and the support group and the journaling, I was able to get through that. And finally have been able to pick myself up again. But there are days when I have a hard time still.
You know, and of course you have, like I said, you've got your husband, and men go through things differently and more emotionally.
Yes.
But he was also experiencing this with you.
Yes, he was.
You know, a lot of this was his stuff, you know, his family.
Yes.
You know, and which makes it harder because you really don't have your immediate support system either. I mean, yeah, yes, he's there, yeah, you know, and all of that, and your son's there. But they're not there because they're going through their own stuff.
Right.
You know,
the important thing for families, I think, is to talk about their feelings. And that's one of the things, and that's why I talk about the cellular side of healing, because it's important for us to be authentic with each other. It's important for us to share what we're feeling and to be okay with not having to fix it, to just listen to each other and hold each other and love each other through these times, because that is who we are meant to be.
Wow. So you're still married?
I am. We just celebrated our 31st anniversary. And happier today than we've ever been. And I think it's because we grew stronger through all of this together.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Very much so. On, you know, a whole lot of levels. The anniversary, the, like you said, living your life, the getting beyond this stuff, the breaking out of whatever issues there were. And you're right, it all takes work. You know, my fiance died 15 years ago, before we even set the wedding date. Thank you. But, you know, there are days that hits me. That's mm-hmm. one situation. My grandma died a few years after that. But I haven't had any real significant, you know, things. And then they say, you know, deaths come in three and all that. And, you know, like you say, you know, I hope anybody that does need that, you know, contact Kathleen directly. And, you know, maybe she can give you some direction beyond that. You know, and I'm not saying that you as a counselor, but, you know, at least maybe you can give them some direction as to what to go. I don't know where all that came from. And, you know, I know it wasn't the direction of the interview. But nonetheless, I go with spirit on this. And when things come up and things are say, go over there, I do it. So thank you for sharing.
And that's exactly what we should do.
You know, sharing your journey on that. Okay. As we take a breath here. All right. So you get through all this, you know, we jump up, what'd you say, like 8 years? You know, you're writing this book, you're out there. What's this book about, essentially?
The book is essentially, this first book is essentially about my journey. It began, and when I first wrote the book, it was three times as big as it is now. But when I got that message in meditation to begin the book in the womb of my mother, it forced me to go back into the cellular part of who I am. And at the time, I didn't understand a lot about cellular memory. I had heard about it. I had read about it. And I had done some studying about it, but I hadn't ever experienced it. So when I went back into the womb of my mother, it forced me to look at my beginnings from the womb. My mother, I was the youngest of eight children, and my mother was in the throes of deep depression herself because she had lost the first two children at birth. The next three oldest children had already been taken by social services, so just my youngest brother and sister were there, and I was in the womb. And my father was put in prison for deserting our family. And my mother was going through not only postpartum depression, but also very severe clinical depression because of her circumstances. She didn't have a way to support her children. She was losing them at every turn. And things were getting worse and worse and worse in every moment that I was growing inside that little uterus. So for me, the impact of depression, the impact of separation, the impact of anger issues, all of the things combined when a family starts to disintegrate were part of my womb experience. So when I went back into the womb and I started writing this book from the standpoint of my mother's feelings, and how I was just taking it all in on a, not even an emotional level, just a cellular level, just taking it in as information, it started creating physical symptoms in me as an adult, as the writer, Kathy. It started creating migraine headaches, and gastrointestinal distress and all kinds of issues. So when I went to the doctor to figure out what was causing these severe headaches, because the headaches were just blinding, I said to the neurologist in my follow-up visit, once they got the migraines under control, I said, you asked me to tell you what I was doing different in life that could be triggering these headaches. And I said, the only thing I can think of is that I'm writing a book about my journey. And I told her what my journey was like. And she said, you are triggering a physical illness with cellular memory. And I said, wow, that's, and she gave me all these medical websites to do research, and I realized that we are much more, and maybe that's where my purpose comes in, is to educate people about maybe that's the link that we seem to be missing. We're so focused on exterior influences in our world that we forget that everything that we need to know about ourselves is within our cellular memory. So I started doing all this research, and I totally rewrote my book because I wanted people to realize that no matter who we are or where we've come from or what we've done or who we've been, we can change it in an instant and create a better tomorrow for ourselves. That's what I want people to know. And I have spent an enormous amount of time and energy and money and all of that helping myself to grow, to become a better person, and to be and to heal myself by changing a lot of the misperceptions that come into our being through cellular memory. It's kind of like the analogy that our bodies are this huge computer, and the minute you turn them on, every sense that we have, our sight, our sounds, our smells, our tastes, our feelings, everything starts importing information into our hard drive, which is our cellular memory. And we don't have any filters when we're new, when we're first born, and when we're in the womb. We just start taking in information at phenomenal rates. As a matter of fact, every single cell of your body has enough information on it to fill up 2.5 CDs with information. And if you multiply that times 100 million cells, you can imagine how much information the human body holds. So we are the most fascinating creation in the universe, I believe. And all of this information is there for us. But sometimes in the process of taking in all this information as new human beings, we don't know how to filter it. So even the most loving memory as a child can have an effect on how we make our choices as an adult in ways that we don't even think about. As a matter of fact, 90% of the choices we make in life are totally unconscious. 90%. Our cellular memory responds to any given moment in time 7 seconds before our conscious mind kicks in. That's phenomenal. And when we live in a world that is so fast-paced and so technologically advanced, we find ourselves so overloaded with information from the external world that we forget to listen to the little signals that our body tells us. We forget to listen to the intuition. We forget to listen to the fight or flight responses. We are overloaded. So the best way that we can start doing that is to kind of slow down and sit a few minutes in the silence and listen to our bodies, because our bodies have every single answer we ever needed about life.
You know, one of the things you just said that really kind of struck me, you know, you're talking about the computer and ourselves. I can't even imagine that, you know, the concept of each of ourselves having, you know, 2 CDs worth of information and then our whole body doing all that. You know, but, you know, I think of, like you said, the computer, you know, you can turn on and off and it stops processing.
Mm-hmm.
Our cells are living entities.
Yes.
You know, individually, collectively, they're living. So we can't turn off the receipt of that energy. It's constant.
That's constant.
So, yeah, that just like blows my mind. You know, and that you had a counselor that could even think on, I guess I want to say, you know, a lot of people think that might be a new agey or a new thought or a, you know, kind of a holistic way of thinking. But, you know, that you had someone that knew enough about our innate entities and our being, you know, back at that timeline. is just amazing as well, because, you know, so a lot of that stuff is kind of, you know, in the last couple decades. And, you know, we're talking back further than that for you.
Right.
So.
Well, the interesting thing to me, I don't know if you know who Dr. Larry Dossey is. He's the head of internal medicine at the University of Texas. But he has written many books and articles and explores mind-body science. Very wonderful man. And he wrote a wonderful article called Transplant, Cellular Memory, and Reincarnation in Explorations magazine a few years ago. And the study of cellular memory did not start until after heart transplants began. And anyone who knows someone who has had a heart transplant understands that when a person has a heart transplant, they usually pick up preferences and cravings and different processes of the recipient or the donor heart that they didn't have before. I mean, they could be a total vegetarian and all of a sudden have a craving for meat because the transplant donor's heart came from somebody who loved meat. And so they started doing research on cellular memory back in the late 70s when they started doing heart transplants. Because they were having people tell them about experiences that they didn't have before, and all of a sudden they're part of who they are now. Well, when I wrote my book and went back into the cellular memory of my mother, it triggered some major, major things for me, because it allowed me to bring what I experienced in the womb to my conscious memory as an adult, just by the mere writing of this book. And when I did that, and I could see consciously as an adult, and I could rationalize consciously as an adult what had happened back then, I could view it from an entirely different perspective than I had as a child. And when we can shift our perception about a cellular event or memory, when we can shift our perception and see how it works in a positive way, we can change the instant moment of now for the better. And we can make new choices tomorrow on the basis of it. And when I started doing all of the shifting that I needed to do in my own thinking, it was amazing the shifts that started occurring for my children and my grandchildren. Because I wasn't healing the moment just for me. I was healing it for all of us, because your cellular memory is created by your mother and father. So when you create a healing moment in that cellular memory, you're healing it for all time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, somewhat.
I don't want to get too technical here because I'm not a doctor. But,
right. You know, I mean, I suppose, let me try and simplify and I see if my simplification would work.
Okay.
It's like, okay, so you grab at the air in your hands and you close your fist.
Mm-hmm.
If you blow out that air, you know, through your hand, it's going to change it. It's going to change the air that's present.
Right.
You know, and because it is energy. You know, so I think if we think of, like I said, it's a real simplification of it. but we, just by putting our thoughts and something else in place of what our body has experienced as trauma or as bad energy or strong negative emotions, by putting something in there, just that displacing of one little speck of it, it changes its composition, just like it would change the air that's in your fist at the moment by blowing through it.
Exactly.
Am I, got it? Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Because
so.
when you can change the energy of a thought, and you can change the perception of that cellular memory, it shifts everything. And it doesn't shift it just in one cell. It shifts it in the entire being, in every cell of that body. Because every single cell of your body holds all the same information. I don't know if you've ever heard or read about the experiments they did on electromagnetic energy on plants. They would take a plant and they would take a cutting from a plant and they'd take it across the country. And they were doing this to do studies on Curlian photography and studying the energy of the time-space continuum process. Anyway, they'd take a mature plant and they'd take a cutting from that plant and they would ship it across the United States, and then they would take an electronic field and they would apply an electrical charge to the parent plant, say in New York, and they would measure the electrical impulses of the cutting in California, and at the same time that they put the electrical impulses to the mother plant, the cutting would have the same physical response.
Wow.
Now, I had read all those studies and had done all that research, and then when I got my mother's mental health records, because when I was born, they put my mother in a mental hospital and took us all away from her and put us out for adoption because she had a nervous breakdown. At the time, they were coming up with a brand new therapy called electroconvulsive shock therapy. This was back in 1949. And I was reading my adoption papers. And while I was in foster care at 9 months old, I started having this seizure every day at the same time. I would have a seizure in my crib. And the seizures got so bad that I ended up breaking the side of the crib. And they lasted for 6 weeks, and then they stopped. And before they could get the state's approval to take me to the doctor, these seizures stopped. Well, when I was doing my research for my book, I decided to go back and get all my adoption records, my mother's mental health records, my father's prison records, all of that. And I was reading through all this information, and I realized that at the same time that I was having those seizures in my crib in a foster home in the middle of South Dakota, my mother was getting electroconvulsive shock therapy at a mental hospital in the state of Minnesota.
Wow.
And it blew me away. That's how important and how connected our cellular memory is. So... I realized that in every one of us, there is a connection to each other. Our families are the most connected, but all of us have a cellular connection. And
keep going to the left, make another one.
A lot of the misperceptions that we have growing up and becoming adults are based upon cellular memory input that isn't necessarily accurate in perception. It's just information, and unless we take the steps to sift through it and see what is blocking us from being successful, see what is stopping us from making a decision that we want to make so incredibly and we seem to be in our own way about, when we start asking ourselves the questions that we need to ask ourselves, then we can start shifting our cellular memory and finding out what it is that's blocking us from being our ultimate best self.
I'm going to go into an area that I don't normally do. And you mentioned it with one of the research studies of reincarnation, which, again, whether people believe it or not is not the issue. You know, it's the connection to not necessarily a past life, but a past that is our past, our heritage, our families, whatever. So however
right.
people want to look at it, you know, I don't
right.
want to, you know, put something in people's minds or sway things one or the other. But I guess that kind of makes some sense because, you know, we look at a lot of times family history, family heritage, you know, whether, I guess I want to use an example, maybe a family that comes from a poverty-stricken country and comes over here and still lives in that poverty because that's what they know, and a couple generations up they still see that there.
Right.
You know, it goes back to what that family has learned and known all those years. You know, they say, well, how come, you know, they moved to quote unquote the United States where it's supposed to be all riches and glory, and how come they can't make it? You know, or the other way around, they come from royalty, you know, in Europe, and they're over here, and it's like, wait a minute, how can they succeed without having, you know, all that background, or, you know, so it's either direction. And I guess that makes some sense now to me.
Right.
You know, as I hear you talking.
We all take the path of least resistance. We take the path that is most familiar to us. And I was the obstinate one in my family and decided that I was not going to allow the circumstances that surrounded my beginnings or the abuse that I grew up in as a child to determine who I became as an adult. I decided that I was going to move entirely past it. I was going to be successful, and no matter what, I was going to make a contribution to the world. Now, anyone who has been in an abusive situation or a domestic violence situation growing up will tell you that when they become adults, they have a tendency to draw that which is familiar to them. They have a tendency to get into dysfunctional relationships. They have a tendency to, you know, attract people who are more like that. And they don't do it on a conscious level. It takes a conscious choice to say, you know what, that's not the kind of person I want to be around, and to walk away. Or to say, this is the kind of person I wish to attract into my life. This is the kind of environment I wish to attract to myself. And to consciously choose it every day. Because consciously choosing it is what helps us shift those unconscious cellular memories.
Okay, well, yeah, you're right. I have heard about the abused going into abusive or becoming the abuser.
Right.
They try to escape it sometimes too, because, again, That's what they know. That's how they react to situations. You know, I want to invite anybody that might be listening. Again, if you'd like to call in, if you're on Skype, press 1. If you are on the phone or the computer, want to call by phone, call 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074 if you want to participate in this conversation, have any questions, whatever. I'd like to get other people in on this as well and what your experiences might be. So the book is about the abuses and the journey that you had on your whole, you know, through your life and going
right.
back from the beginning. Do you go back beyond, were you able to go back beyond the womb level for yourself into your family history or just that's where you stopped because that was the quote unquote the voice, the energy that you heard, that's where you were supposed to start?
That was where that energy, that voice said that I should start. I am working on a second book, but
okay.
I'm having much more difficulty with that because I'm going to be talking about fathers and the absence of fathers. And for me, that's a generational issue. So I have to go a lot deeper, and it's been a lot more difficult for me to connect with that. I connected with my birth mother because I hold the most admiration and respect for my birth mother that I think a person can hold. Her strength was incredible. She went on to live a good life after I met her at 18, and she was released from the mental hospital as fully cured, and we had a really good relationship, and I really admired her. So that first book was to honor her because her strength was just incredible. And maybe that's where I pulled my strength through all the family losses too, Cindy. I drew on that strength that my mother had because she lost all 8 of her children. So maybe that's where I drew that strength from. But the second level that I'm going to is a little bit more difficult for me because. That's where a lot of the pain was, not only with my birth father, but with my adoptive father as well. So that's going to be a tougher thing. But I haven't gone to past life, but I will say that during the workshops, when we do the regression exercises, I have had people go to past lives, and I have even had one person do a soul retrieval, which I don't, you know, I don't believe everybody believes in that, but we are more than we think we are. So I have had one person go to a past life to heal a cellular memory. So I let them do what they believe is good for them. I don't endorse it or deny it either way because I believe that everything having to do with cellular memory is an individual experience. And that's why the workshops are experiential workshops, because everybody has their own process.
Right. Like you said, I think you may have some of the issues of your mother with, you know, whatever was going on with the abuse in the family and all of that pieces of it. And, you know, and you hope you don't have on the mental disorders and all of that. But you're right. You do take on their strengths as well as their weaknesses. And, you know, we have to live on those too. You know,
right.
For some reason, a lot of us only remember, more remember the struggles growing up, the you know, my dad yelled at me every time I turned around, or, you know, my mom would never let me go out with my friends, or whatever. You know, some of those things that we think were the struggles, you know, if we look at our parents and how they were raised, you know, we might be able to understand some of that stuff. And at the same time, you know, we have to remember that there was and is still good in every family and in every person. And no matter how hard we, no matter how hard we think that was, we can pull on their strengths too, as well as their weaknesses. So I'm glad you brought that up. So, okay, you've got these workshops. What do you do in your workshops?
The workshops that we create are one-day workshops, and they're based upon journaling and journeying into the first thing that I ask people to do is focus on one thing in your life that you would like to improve. And once you have that focus, because, you know, all of us are a work in process, so nobody can fix their whole life in a minute. Focus on one thing that you would like to improve in your life. And as we go through that day, there are specific exercises that we do that help people define more clearly what that one thing is. And then we go back into the cellular memory that created the first thought about what is keeping them from accomplishing that one thing. And the results that we have had have been absolutely phenomenal, because it not only heals that moment, that initial first thought moment, but it heals it for the future. And it heals it not just for the person that's going into the workshop, but it heals it on a generational level. Because all cellular memory is passed on generation by generation. So when you shift something for the better, you know, it's kind of like your analogy of blowing air into your hand and then blowing, or catching air in your hand and then blowing it out and changing it. Once you change it for the better, it stays better.
That makes sense.
So we use a process of meditation. We use journaling. We do some journeys. And everybody has an individual process, and everybody's process is different. But everybody's process is positive. That's the thing that I like to emphasize, because everybody has a positive process.
Okay. So how many people have you taken through these journeys over the years?
Oh, gosh. Oh. Probably a couple thousand since I started doing these actual journeys.
Wow.
The cellular journeys.
Mm-hmm. And then do you do these in person? Do you do them over cyberspace?
I have done them on the phone. I do them in personal coaching sessions, and I do them in workshops. If people would like to have a workshop in their area, they can go on my website, www.chooseabettertomorrow.com, and send me an email requesting a workshop in their area. I also am available for private coaching sessions, so I have an email address. They can just hit the Contact Us button on the website, and I can interact with them on a personal level. And I do have an author Facebook page, so I do have the ability to chat with them privately on Facebook, or I would love to have people give me their feedback I am starting a blog on my website, Choose a Better Tomorrow. So I'm really interested in helping people to find that cellular side of themselves. I do donate a portion of my book sales to help abused and neglected kids, because that's what I choose to do, because there are more and more children every day getting abused and neglected out there, and it seems like there are less and less resources all the time to help them.
Do you work with kids too?
My own and my grandkids.
Okay.
It's been difficult for me to volunteer for the kids themselves because of the emotional impact that it has on me. Mm-hmm. So that's why I chose to raise money through the book, because that way I can give them a portion of my treasure to do with as they deem best for the children that they take care of. And I can still give back.
Okay. So for you, what has been the most helpful of your journey that you can pass on to other people?
What has been the most helpful?
Mm-hmm.
The most helpful thing for me has been that even as dark as things have gotten in my life, even as difficult as they have become, there is a brighter tomorrow, and we can reach it. We can get there. Sometimes it's a choice-by-choice process, but if there are people who can help you, seek that help. If there are people who are toxic to you, walk away from them. Because we can't improve ourselves, we can't improve our life if we allow toxic people to make our decisions for us. And I have been truly blessed. I have come to a point in my life where I have learned to appreciate the simple things around me, the really simple things around me, whether it's just waking up and opening up my shades and seeing a beautiful sun in the sky, or even if it's a rainy day and I can thank the universe and God for watering my lawn for me that day. Finding pleasure and finding something to be grateful for. That has probably been the most helpful to me. In the workshops, it's been interesting to see how people process things. And one of the encouraging things about doing the workshops for me is that most of the people who have an experience in that workshop have a way of filling my heart with gratitude and fullness as well. When they come to their own epiphanies and they come to their own new perceptions, it has a way of shifting things for me as well. So none of us are in this process alone. We're all in it together. When I do the workshops, I do the workshops with gratitude, because I realize that everything that I have experienced in my life, someone else should have an opportunity to experience as well. And that's why I do the workshops, because I want people to have the opportunity to see a brighter tomorrow.
When you see those epiphanies from those people, does that take you back to your first one?
It does, really. It really does. And, you know, there's an old saying that the physical sensation of excitement and the physical sensation of fear are the same exact physical sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had my very first epiphany, I had so much excitement in my body. And when I see people have that same epiphany, I just get excited all over again, because I know exactly how it feels.
So what was that for you? What was your first epiphany, so to speak?
My first epiphany, when I was... My first epiphany was that when I was at my lowest point, I was less than 12 hours away from suicide, and I had a Christmas card come in the mail from somebody I didn't even know. The address wasn't familiar. At the time, I wasn't even allowed to receive mail. And I had cried out that day that I didn't want to die, but I didn't know what else to do. And when I opened up that Christmas card, it was a Christmas card from my birth mom. And I had always been told she was dead. So she actually found me and connected with me less than 12 hours away from my own suicide.
Wow.
She gave me life twice. That was my first epiphany.
Amazing. How old were you?
I was 18.
Amazing.
And I was at the point where I had no answers.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is somebody out there right now who has no answers, ask for help. And the answers will come. Ask for help.
There is a saying that what we put out to the universe, the attention we put out to the universe, is what calls them in.
Yeah.
And calls in all those things that we know that we don't see. And until we are at that point of being able to receive it, they're just going to sit back and say, okay, you want to do it yourself? Go for it. Again, that energy needs to be asked to step forward. Just like if, you know, you see somebody struggling, you know, yeah, you want to run in and help them, but at the same time, you know, like a little kid learning to walk, you know, you can run in and help them, but if you do, they're never going to learn to walk.
That's
the
right.
Caterpillar story, you know, the caterpillar in its cocoon, that same story that says, you know, the caterpillar has to go through the struggles, because when the man broke open the cocoon, the caterpillar died because it didn't gain the strength that it needed to become the butterfly.
Right.
And that story, you know, as you just said what you did, that's a story that came to my mind. And that story tears me up every time I hear it, every time I read it, you know. And, you know, that we, too, as individuals, again, on the other side of that, we can be the one person that can make a difference in somebody's life by sending a card, by smiling at them on the street, by doing anything that will acknowledge them as a person, as a being, and as being important in this world. Whatever it is, whatever we are capable of doing, You know, no matter what age, we need to do it. You know,
that's
for
right.
for you it was writing a book. You know, for and making it doing the discussions. For me, I hope it's this radio show. For anybody that's listening, I hope it's listening. I hope it's then, you know, that you can take something out that maybe tomorrow you run into somebody, and if you don't need what you're hearing today, maybe somebody that you're going to run into will, and you can send them a link. Sorry, emotional stuff to me too. So, you know, I get it, and I hope everybody else does too. At some level, at a cellular level, they understand it.
Yeah.
So what else did you want to share with us that I've not asked you today?
That you've not asked me. Everything that we are has a reason. And if there are people out there who feel like they're not living their purpose yet, or feel like it's taking forever, or they feel like they don't have what they need to start living their purpose, or everything else is getting in the way, understand that everything that you are doing, everything that you are being, everything that you are understanding right now is part of the process. And everything has a purpose in its time. It took me a long, long time to get to where I am because I had to go through some really serious growing pains to get here. And I know that each and every person out there has a seed of greatness within them. And right now, if you don't feel like you're making it, if you don't feel like you're getting where you need to be, just keep watering that seed and keep trying to move forward, improving yourself. And take some time in the quiet to find the answers for yourself. Even if you sit down with a spiral notebook and you just sit in the quiet and just let your pen write, just get all the clutter out of your head and just let your pen write. It's amazing the answers that you can find at the end of your pen. Just let yourself be with the quiet for a little while, because all of the texting, all of the cell phones, all of the computers, all the iPads, all the noise out there is keeping you from finding the answers that you already have inside. Find the quiet. That's what I would like people to do. Connect with themselves.
I think I just got this week's affirmation out of what you just said. And I would say that out of that, the affirmation, and I'm putting it up in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations chat room or the Facebook group. And the affirmation is, I am a seed of greatness, and I acknowledge that everything I am doing right now is bringing me closer to my purpose.
That's right.
And again, that's, I am a seed of greatness, and I acknowledge that everything I am doing right now is bringing me closer to my purpose. So thank you for that. You know, eventually we get some of these that come out. Sometimes it waits to the very end, but there is an affirmation in all these.
Cool. Yeah,
dear.
I like that.
Yeah. So anything else? That is just cool.
If you would like to have a workshop in your area and you're listening today, go to my website, www.chooseabettertomorrow.com, and send me a request. I'd be happy to consider booking a workshop in your area. If you would like to check out my book, go to my website. There are links for Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com on my website. I do help children with the proceeds of my book, so if you believe in helping the next generation so that we can teach our children the impact of cellular memory and how it affects us in our everyday lives, please feel free to support me by buying a copy of my book. It is available on hardcover, softcover, and ebook. And I look forward to hearing from you soon.
Cool. And then you did mention on Facebook, you do have a Facebook page at
yes,
Kathleen, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N-L-S-E-L-L-I-S. So people can reach you there as well. Okay. I don't think I have anything else for you.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy, for having me on today, and thank you to the listening audience for listening. I'm really glad I had the opportunity to share my experiences with you.
Thank you. I'll give people 30 seconds here. If you can dial fast, if you have anything else to ask, you can. Again, 347-205-9074, 347-205-9074. I do want to acknowledge... I think from both of us, I can say this, Christabel, who introduced us indirectly and directly because of her her grand opening party during the Positive News Day broadcast, too, and that you ended up winning my Facebook coaching, and I am so grateful to be having been able to hear your story. You know, she mentioned your book as well as one of those door prizes that were being offered during that grand opening, or not grand opening, gratitude, excuse me, gratitude event.
Yes,
grand
gratitude
opening
party.
For the,
yep.
Grand opening for the next magazine, issue of the magazine, but it's a gratitude party from Krista. So I do want to acknowledge her as well in all of this.
She is an awesome lady.
Yeah, you never know who or why or how people meet. And, you know, your story has been one of the most inspiring that I've heard in a while. And guess what? We got somebody on the phone. See? I
saw great. Long enough. Thank you.
I think I recognize that number. I'm going to pull it up here. I am not going to screen this call. Hello. Welcome
okay.
to Purpose Talk Radio.
Hi. Hello. Christabel.
That's what I
Hi,
thought.
Hi, Krista.
I said I recognize. We were just talking about
Hi.
You. Hey, Krista, can you turn your computer down for me, please? The volume on your computer?
Yeah.
I recognize that number. I'm going to pull it up here.
Okay.
Here you go. Welcome. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about you. And like I said, I just guessed that, you know, when I looked at the phone number that it might be you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Am I on the air? Or is this behind
you
the scenes thing?
You are on the air. I did not screen the call at all. So,
oh, thank
you. We're live, ladies.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Krista. How are you today?
Oh, wonderful. You're doing a beautiful job.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I just thought I'd throw in a testimonial if you guys don't mind me adding
a
testimonial for you, Kathy.
Not at all.
Please do.
I was having some troubles last year around Thanksgiving time, and I was taking my son out on a date, and I kind of threw out there that I could use some help healing. You know, I really wanted to heal, but I was having trouble finding help healing from it. And so me and my son walked over, and Kathy was doing a book signing, and I came home and I started reading her book. And it literally just changed my life in the moment. I was able to look back at all the things that I regretted in my life and see how my cells were reacting the same every single time that moment happened. So it wasn't so much that I regretted what I did or what I chose to do in that moment. It was that I had this automatic response. You know, I would just shut down when there was a conflict instead of standing up for myself, or, you know, I would just automatically respond. And once I recognized that the way my cellular memory was reacting, just by seeing the examples Cassie offers in her book, I was able to empower myself by choosing how to react. I could recognize, I could feel that moment. And it works the same, not just in negative situations, but in positive situations also. When I meet somebody and I'm excited and inspired because I met them, I can relate that to the how I felt meeting other people in my past that completely changed my life.
Thank you so much, Krista. I really appreciate that.
I hope I didn't. Go ahead.
I'm really fortunate because Krista and I live in the same geographic area, so I have been able to watch Krista grow over the last 7 months since we had that first meeting. And we've done a couple workshops together, and she's even been supportive and helped me with the audio-video because I'm not as technologically advanced as she is. But it's the thing that I get really excited about is watching people grow, watching people improve their lives, and watching people make new choices. Because so often, and I don't know if this was true for you, Krista, so often we get stuck and we just don't know what to do next. And so that's what I hope I bring to people with the book and the workshops is helping people kind of get unstuck from that one little thing that keeps them back. Is that what's true for you?
That is true. And I found I can use it for anything. When you were talking about the generations and healing on a generational level, one of the things in my family, I just think this example might help, but one of the things in my family is that we weren't allowed to cry. If we cry, then we would get lashing, you know, not laugh like whoops or anything, but it would lash back on us whenever we cried. And, you know, my sister and I were able to fix that within ourselves between me and her and for the generation of our children. But then once I learned about cellular memory, we were able to look back at my mom, whose mom passed away when I was a baby. So while she was going through the baby blues, her mom passed away, and the only support that she had was her husband, her brother, and her father, which were all men, who were all raised to, that's how men are raised. They weren't allowed to cry, you know, and so that lashed back, fell back on her, and that affected the cellular memory of her generation and our generation. And once we realized that, it was fixed. It wasn't a matter of fixing the problem. It was just a matter of realizing it, and it was just fixed. And now we all call each other and cry like girls are supposed to do.
That's great. Yes, that's exactly true, because when I grew up and left home, I spent probably the first half of my adult life never letting anybody see me shed a tear, ever. And when I finally started doing my own healing work and I started having the family losses and the tears came, it gave me the opportunity not only to grieve for the family members that I was losing, but also to grieve for the things that I had lost as a child. And there were times when I thought I wasn't going to stop crying. But I did. And so it's okay to cry. And I'm really glad that you were able to heal that for your mom and your sister as well, because that's the important thing about cellular memory, is that it heals it not only for you, but it heals it for your family.
And what's neat about it is that the change is so instantaneous. I feel like there's so many things that I've worked hard on to change, and I've worked hard to fix this in myself. I worked hard to learn to stand up to conflict. I've worked hard for these things, to fix these things and heal these things within myself, well, not even including the rest of my family, just in myself. And through cellular memory, the cellular memory tricks that you teach, it's it's just so easy. That's what inspires me the most about it, is it's instant and it's easy, and it's like, there, that's sick.
And
I'm all better now.
It?
It's painless. It is. It really is.
Yeah, I like that. Easy and painless. That sounds like a really good option. I definitely need to look into that. Because we try to make things so hard. We do. We try to make things so hard in our life. It's like, oh, I got to fix this, so I got to go through this, and I got to go through this. And I know it's going to take all these years, and it's going to be... But it's not. It sounded like you said, it was like you looked back at your mom, went, okay, because there were all these guys in the family, da-da-da. Oh, okay. All gone.
Yeah.
You know? All better. It's like mommy just put a Band-Aid over the top of it and said, there
yeah.
you go.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
you're right.
The thing is, you know, everybody wants a quick fix. And the interesting thing is that it is a quick fix. It's about a shift in perception. That's it. And the minute that you change a perception, everything changes. I'll never forget when I had gone to a symposium and was listening to some motivational speakers. And one of the speakers said that he was on a transit bus that had, and he was trying to get back to his hotel from the convention center, but the transit bus went by the hospital, and it was Stephen Covey that was talking about this, and he said a man and his three children got on the transit bus, and the only seat left was the seat next to him, and the man sat down in the seat next to him, and the three children were just running up and down the aisles, bugging the heck out of everybody. And he said, I sat there, and I started getting really annoyed. And finally I said to him, aren't you going to get your kids under control? And the man looked at him, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, you know, he said, I really don't know what to do. He said, my wife was always the disciplinarian for our kids, but he said, I just lost my wife at the hospital, and he said, I haven't got a clue what to do to get my kids under control. And Stephen Covey said, in that moment, when he had that shift in perception, he was able to say to the man, I'll tell you what, you get the kids over here on our laps. We'll get the kids over here on our laps, and we'll buy them an ice cream when we get to the next stop. And he was able to assist the man from a different perspective. And life is about perception, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When we can shift a perception from our cellular memory, it's that fast. It's that simple. And, you know, we've become a society of quick fixes. But you know what? We're a work in progress. So the processes that I teach are to help people work on one perception at a time, one choice at a time. And Krista is a perfect example of that, because Krista has just, she's my number one cheerleader right now. She has just gone leaps and bounds on her own self-improvement.
Well, and you can see that in some of her posts, too.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what Krista's been putting up on Facebook, and it's got a different spin to it. It's got a different, and not that any of them were wrong before, Krista, you know, don't get me wrong there. It just, there's more excitement, there's more, it's like almost more confidence in what you're posting, you know, and I have noticed that, and I kind of, again, you know, it was like a notice, but not a wonder going, oh, I wonder what happened or anything. You know, I just thought, okay, well, you're taking things a different direction. Well, now it explains it a little bit. You know, and it's not ignoring what happened in the past, you know, when we look at these perceptions. It's not forgetting that, you know, we grew up with these things happening. It's changing, like you said, changing the perception. And I like that. I'm going to have to be doing some of my own work now. Because I was just talking to my family about some things that went on when I was a kid, and how now it's manifesting, well, it's been manifesting itself in some of my activities, and we don't know really where they came from, you know, why I'm doing some of the things I'm doing in my life now, because they're very different from the way I was raised.
Hmm.
But there were situations that, you know, I think had some impact on it. So I'm trying to go back and look at some of them. But, you know, you're right. I mean, you just have to change the perception or look at why things were done a certain way. Could be interesting. I'll have to remember this show when I go back and I write my book as to my situation right now that I'm dealing with. Because it's going to be coming. I guarantee it. So,
good.
We'll find your credit for that. So, thank you. Thank you, Krista, for calling in. I appreciate it. Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
Oh, no,
share?
I appreciate everything from both of you. Thank you both so much for being such a wonderful part of my life. I appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
You too.
You
Thanks
too,
for
Krista.
Connecting us. You too. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, cool. Pack of butter and she shows up. I like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I wondered if she – I couldn't tell if she was listening or not. I could tell that she was clicking on some of the likes. So I know she was around somewhere. I just didn't know whether she was actually listening or just catching the comments, because I know she tends to multitask as well.
I know.
She's still
I was looking at the comment stream, but it doesn't – show anybody on, so.
Okay, yeah. So. All right. Well, thank you very much again for being here.
You're welcome.
And I wish you luck in your second book. Let us know, you know, when that comes around as well.
I will.
And whatever other things you're going to do when it all gets turned into a movie or something, you know, let us know that as well.
Well, my son and I are working on a playwright right now, so we'll see how that goes.
Great. Okay, thanks. Well, I will put you on hold if you'd like to listen to the rest of the show. You're welcome to. Otherwise, if your computer's there, you can turn that up as well, whatever works for you. There's not too much more. We'll wrap up and summarize and all that fun stuff, so thanks again.
Great. Thank you for having me on, Cindy, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, that was an eye-opening experience, at the very least. I'm blown away by some of this information that I get every week. And, you know, I learn things just as much as I hope you do when I have these guests. You know, I never know what to expect. I let the universe guide and determine what the show is going to be. And I'm always awestruck when it comes out a way different from what, you know, I may have thought it was. This show is about purpose. It's about my guests living their purpose, me as the host living my purpose, and to all of you, you living yours as well. I hope you, yourselves, your cell structure, was able to pick up something from Kathy Ellis today and, you know, get a hold of her, read her book, maybe schedule a workshop if you found this information helpful to you. I am at an emotional crossroads right now, and I'm sure it's sounding in my voice, and that's okay. I was always told, too, like Kristen and Kathy were, you know, you don't cry, but you know what? I could cry at the drop of a hat and still can. Good, bad, indifferent. I'm a very emotional and empathic person, so I do take on the emotions of other people around me very often. And the stories that were shared today were emotional. They were personal. And they were from the heart. And I always feel that. So I'll definitely have to pick up the book myself now and figure out what we can do. Okay, back on the other things of Purpose Talk Radio. I thank you all for listening this week. Next week, our guest will be Christina Nelson. She is a psychic, medium, and paranormal investigator. You've heard her on the show before. She will do some readings after the interview. We do have some things, you know, we want to discuss and, you know, what's going on in her life, some things that have changed. She's part of a TV show now that's looking to be produced in major networks being shared out there, and I'll let her tell you more about that as well. She is very much living her purpose and trying to figure out how to change some of the things that she's been doing, you know, for so long and incorporating some of these other things into her life. But like I said, I will let her share that with you. After that, school is starting for me. I am looking for guests to fill the show. Right now we are airing Mondays noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the UK. You get on the phone or Skype from where you live. If you're living your purpose and want to share with the rest of the world how you came to know it, what you did to achieve it, and what others can do, and what they might be able to learn from your experience, I'd love to have you be a guest on the show. I also have a way for you to be promoted and for your gifts, your services to be promoted on our show as well. So please jump over to PurposeTalkRadio.com and see what we have to offer you as well if you are someone who would like to share that with the world. I think today we have gotten enough wonderful, emotional, thought-provoking things that can take us all into the world. If you'd like to talk to me directly, you can do so by sending me an email to Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at PurposeTalkRadio.com. You can do that to suggest a guest, suggest topics for the show, make a donation, consider how you can share your gifts with the world, or any other thing you'd want to chat about at the moment. In addition to that, again, PurposeTalkRadio.com is our website, where we try to keep it up to date with some of the archives of the shows, information about those who have been our guests and upcoming guests, as well as what exactly is Purpose Talk Radio. With that having said, I would like to leave you with the song again, I Am Who I Am by True Trinity. Jillian Clark, who is the beautiful voice in this song. Rachel Martinez, our awesome co-writer in Florida, and myself up here in the state of Wisconsin, with Jillian also. And as soon as I find it, because we have got a longer piece of thread here for my soundboard these days, because I'm working on a different computer, I will play that song for you. And in the meantime, folks, I wish you all. I'd like to invite you over one more time to the Facebook group, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, and our group on our page on Facebook also, which is Purpose Talk Radio. So as we go out, I wish you all a very awesome week. I hope that you find the healing that you need to get through things on a cellular level. I hope too that you allow yourselves to rejoice in the spirit of who you are as you go on every moment, every day, of moving toward your purpose, and that you know that you are who you are. I wish you all soul blessings. Thank you for being a part of this show and for listening.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.